Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We hear a portion of our second lesson today from Revelation chapter 12. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought also. But he could not prevail, and there was no place for them in heaven any longer. Thrown out, the ancient serpent who was called the devil and Satan, the one who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to earth and his angels with him. We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. So angels play a very significant role in history and in the Bible. 34 out of 66 books of the Bible mention angels, and so we have this festival day in the church year dedicated to teaching about them, St. Michael and All Angels Day. Whenever angels and their counterparts, demons, come up in the Bible, they are not described with mythical or fictional language. They are always described as real creatures, just as real as you and me. They may be unseen to the human eye, unless they temporarily take on the appearance of men, but they're very real. They are not, as liberal Lutheran churches and other liberal churches teach, metaphorical beings who only represent things we cannot see or don't understand. I got quite upset again this last week as I was reading some things from the one liberal Lutheran church body, which basically told its members, you know, you don't have to believe they're real. You can deny them or doubt them. It really doesn't matter, they said in their publication. So they're not to take the word at face value. But one of the problems with this view of the liberal churches is that many of the texts that talk about angels or demons are connected with teachings about Christ or forgiveness or salvation and heaven. So if one doubts or denies the reality of angels and demons, why not doubt these other teachings as well that are so closely tied to them? But the teaching of God's word is clear. They are real. But there's another error people can fall into regarding angels. People believe angels exist merely or only to protect people from physical or emotional harm. Everything from preventing a car accident to assuring people of their presence so people can have a sense of emotional peace and calm. And no doubt angels can and do perform such wonderful works, as some of you very well know. So we shouldn't downplay this aspect of angels. But there is much more going on than that, much more. Michael and his angels have a higher calling. They have a most important, monumental, violent, fierce, and great work. And to understand this work of Michael and his angels, we have to understand their arch enemies, Satan and his fallen angels called demons and evil spirits. Satan himself was an angel of God, but sometime before the fall of Adam and Eve, he himself rebelled against his creator and took with him many, many angels. And ever since then, there have been two companies of angels, the fallen angels and those who have not fallen. Satan and his angels, and Michael, the archangel, and his angels. They are both mightier than we are. We are no match for them. And they both, if when God allows and wills, can take on a physical appearance, even a human appearance. At least the good angels have done that and continue to do that. So, here's what Satan did and does that help us understand the most monumental, important, turbulent, and fierce work of Michael and his fellow angels. First, Satan is responsible for the fall into sin. He convinced Adam and Eve to disbelieve and reject and rebel against the gracious, powerful, wise, and true God and his word, and instead to follow the sinful desires and devices of their own hearts. This in turn brought death upon them and their descendants, spiritual death immediately, and then a physical death, and to be followed by an eternal death in hell. The work of Satan and the fall into sin also brought upon the earth great disruptions within the natural world, within society, within government, within the church, within the family. Disruptions that God allows so we human beings might know the terribleness of sin, and so that each one of us might seek him and repent. Second, Satan and his demons are alive and well today, and seeking either to prevent people from coming to salvation in Christ, or if we already have that salvation, to take away our salvation in Christ. You know the verse from St. Peter, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And then St. Paul tells us one of the ways in which he seeks to devour us, namely lies, false teachings, just like he did with Adam and Eve. So St. Paul said in 1 Timothy 4, now the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will depart from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and the teachings of demons, through the hypocrisy of liars whose consciences are seared. Satan does not want any of us, including our children and grandchildren, to partake of the forgiveness of sins and salvation found in Christ. He is active and alive today. The temptation is there before us, our children, our grandchildren, our neighbor. And many, many have eaten of the delightful looking and deceitful lies. Many of us know of this personally as we look at our friends and family. So we need to pray. Third, we read in our Revelation text that Satan is called the accuser, the one who seeks to accuse Christians of their sins before God. You know, Satan knows our sins even better than we ourselves know our sins. He also knows the verdict and the judgment of God, found, for example, in Ezekiel 18, where God himself said, the soul who sins is the one who will die.
So Satan could come before God in heaven and say, "You said this, God. It is your indisputable and unquestionable word. So God, here are their sins. Here are the sins of you and you and you and you and me," Satan would be saying of us. "And so God, you must hold yourself to your word and bring upon them eternal death." But as we believe and know, we are free from the accusations of Christ, of Satan, because of Christ, because of that deeper word, that deeper truth of Christ and his work. But it is salvation in Christ more than anything that Satan and his demons do not want people to find and hold on to. Therefore, it is this salvation in Christ that Michael and his fellow angels serve and fight for. We read today in the Old Testament lesson about this stairway. In his dream, Jacob saw this the stairway with angels going up and down the stairway. Well, what is this stairway? Well, Jesus tells us what it is. Jesus says he, Jesus, is the stairway. John 1, "Truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." And so the angels' most important, monumental, and fierce work has to do with Christ as the way, the truth, and the life to heaven. So this focus on Christ is why we see angels present at the conception of Christ, at the birth of Christ. When Jesus is tempted in the desert, when he enters into his suffering in the garden, and why we see angels present at the resurrection. This is why we see angels rejoicing when a sinner repents and believes. Why we are told by St. Paul that angels are present during worship right now. And it's the angels who will carry us to heaven when we die. And it's the angels who will announce the final coming of Christ and come with Christ in all his power and glory when he raises the dead and judges the whole world. Angels serve Christ. And they serve those who believe in Christ as we walk toward eternal life. The writer of Hebrews said, are angels not all ministering spirits sent out to serve those who are going to inherit salvation? So this is just a tremendous comfort to know these angels are with us and also serving the gospel of Christ. Again, in Revelation, we read that Michael and the angels fought against Satan and his demons in heaven. And Satan was defeated and thrown out. How did this happen? Did Michael and his angels outnumber the evil angels? Did they have better weapons, better strategy, or what? Now, it's possible that the good angels were far fewer in number than the evil angels. We don't know. You know, you think about Christians on earth, and we've always been far fewer than non-Christians. That could be the case with the good angels as well. So how could and would Michael and his fellow angels have won? And how will they continue to fight for us here on earth?
where Satan and his angels reside, where the devil, we're told in scriptures, is the prince of the power of the air, where these unseen battles continue to take place so that people can come to faith and continue in the faith. So what's going on in this realm we can't see with the angels? How do Michael and his angels come out on top for us? Well, we can't fully answer that right now, for the unseen remains unseen. Someday we will know. Then I will fully know, says Paul. But we can still answer it in a significant way right now. Our Revelation text says this of brothers and sisters in Christ who persevere in the Christian faith. They conquered him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Whatever else is going on in the world of angels and demons beyond our senses, we know the blood of Christ, in which there is forgiveness of sins. We know the word of God, which Paul calls a weapon, the sword of the Spirit, are more powerful than any weapon or temptation or lie or accusation that Satan and his angels will use against us. It is no coincidence that the angels are with us right now. Think about that, right now. In this worship service, according to 1 Corinthians 11. I do not know exactly what the good angels are thinking or doing, but it has something to do with the blood of Christ and the word of God. They may be saying, we want to make sure they are protected from the evil spirits as the blood of Christ is offered, distributed, and received. They may be saying, we are fighting off Satan and his angels as the word of God in all its power and mercy pointing to Christ is rightly taught so it may be heard and grasped by faith. So angels, strangers and yet our best friends, unseen but with us every step we take. They are amazing. It is because of angels and because of the sacrifice of Christ, as we remain faithful to the powerful word of God, that we can say something along with St. Paul. It's in Romans 8, Paul's kind of dealing with the question, can we conquer? And Paul says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So praise God for his holy angels. Amen.